Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on Mr. Edwards' recent visit to Paris, he purchased in a small back street shop an amazing French manuscript.
Steady, Bentley.
No, not the one the customs confiscated. The other one.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yes.
This document is of unique historic interest.
And it will reveal to the world that the central idea of I was Monty's double is by no means a new one.
Well, because the document is entitled J'étais le double de Napoléon.
That means I was Napoleon's double. Musique, s'il vous plaît.
It is the year 1815. Napoleon's army is regrouping for the final assault. Will Napoleon's star once more be in the ascendant? Tonight, as he dines with his marshals, he outlines his grand strategy.
Regardez la table, my brave ones. Heads down, look in. Now, this fish knife, that is the English. This gravy boat, that is the Prussian.
Minister, where are we?
In the Mulligatawny. Mon generals, when they attack, we shall be crushed between their forces as I crush this nut. As I crush this... Take this nut and give me a grape. Merci. As I crush this grape between my fingers.
Oh.
Mille pardon, Marshal Ney. What I used to call a whiff of grape shot, you know. In our position, Marshal, there is but one military expedient left. Take your serviette.
What do I do with it?
Tie it on the end of your sword. Push it out the window and wave it slowly to and fro.
No.
Oh, Josephine, this is most unexpected.
What is?
Hearing you say no.
I said no to the idea of surrender. I have a plan by which you may outwit your enemies. Can I have my postillion brought round to the front?
Could I have that again, please?
My postillion. Could I have it brought round to the front?
Well, not without major surgery. I promoted him to colonel.
My coach.
Is he your coach?
In my coach, there is a man whom I saw performing in a Paris theater. Napoleon, he is your double.
What?
Not only does he look exactly like you, but every movement he makes is the same movement you would make.
And you dare to come back in a closed coach with him? Bring in the dirty beast.
Very well. Entrez, monsieur.
Bonjour, all. Sorry I took so long in coming, but I... That's funny. I was here all the time.
No, this is me.
What? But it is not possible. We are like two peas in a pod. Regard us in the middle.
Tell us something of yourself, monsieur.
I am by trade a performing actor. My name is Ladouce. Ernie Ladouce. My speciality? Impressions of famous historical Frenchmen. My first?
Meow. Who is that?
The pussy.
You name him, I'll do him. Listen.
Un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq.
What's that?
A French count. Do I get the job?
Do you not see, my lover? We can use him to hoodwink your enemies if we can make them think that he is you.
But of course, my word. You will be well rewarded, monsieur. I will make you a chevalier d'honneur.
We will pay you well. 200 francs a day.
Well, you can't go wrong at 200 francs.
I am at your service.
Then you start immediately, monsieur. Study my every mannerism. The way I walk, talk, eat, drink, smile, frown, cough, spit, curse, blind, and stand with one hand shoved inside my waistcoat. Want that again?
So I took on the role of the false Napoleon.
I worked as I had never worked before, regularly. By using every trick of the actor's trade, I grew so like Napoleon that the only way you could tell us apart was to stand us together.
Napoleon could not believe such a deception should be carried off, but Josephine would have no arguments. In their boudoir the following evening, she expressed her confidence and delight.
Oh, Napoleon, mon Dieu, this man Ladouce is even better than I thought. The only person in the world who can tell you apart is me. Why do you smile, ma chérie?
Just so.
So, to that fateful morning when the grand deception reached its climax, Napoleon and his double conferred in the shadow of the chateau.
This is it, mon double. Now you know the plan.
Oui, mon emperor. Josephine and I depart from the chateau as though we are going on a picnic.
You have everything necessary?
Oui, mon emperor. 4 cheese and tomato sandwiches, 2 hard-boiled eggs, and a pair of water wings engraved with the imperial initials NBG.
Napoleon Bonaparte, General.
Oh.
Your movements will be observed by the enemy. See yon solitary figure who sits on his horse, gazing down on us from yonder hill.
It is the Duke of Wellington. When he sees us leave, he will think Napoleon is taking the day off. So he will immediately follow to see where we are going.
And with him gone, the British will be without a leader. I shall creep my lads round the other side of the hill, and then I shall cut through the British troops like this knife cuts through this hard-boiled egg. Marshals of France, how are you?
22 of you.
You must aid the deception by waving them goodbye.
How are you, mon frère? Bye-bye, Napoleon.
Bye-bye, y'all.
Have a lovely picnic.
Don't stay in the water, it's cold.
Leave the door on the latch.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy yourself.
Come with your sandals.
What was all that about?
They are gone. Their horses' hooves have disappeared in the distance. And what of Wellington?
He has been looking at them through his glasses. See, now he puts spurs to his horse and he's trotting after them.
Leaving the British leaderless. It's worked. We'll slaughter him.
Now, mon frère.
I can't lose now.
No, mon frère.
This will be Napoleon's greatest victoire. Wait a minute. I must make a note of the particulars from my memoirs. Now, what did you say the name of this place is?
This place?
Yes.
Waterloo.
The last scene of our story takes place aboard the HMS Bellerophon en route for the island of Elba. In the rat-infested hold, 3 figures lie chained together. As the bilge water laps about them, one breaks the silence.
I still say it was a good idea.
Oh, shut up.
But, Emperor, where did it go wrong? I was your double, all right. I was the image of you.
And Wellington followed us. I saw him.
You saw him?
Haven't you realized yet?
What?
That was Wellington's double.
If you want to be happy and you want to be gay, just listen here to what we have to say. Just open up every one of your doors and let the light of love come into your heart. I'm going to open up all my doors. I'm going to open up all my doors. I'm going to open up all my doors and let the light of love come in. I'm going to say a prayer every day till happiness comes my way. I'm going to open up all my doors and let the light of love come in. Going to open up the front door, the right door, the back door, the side door, all the doors to our heart. Going to open up the left door, the right door, the day door, the night door. Now's the time to start. I'm going to put aside everything because I want to hear joy and joy bring. I'm going to open up all my doors and let the light of love come in.
Now listen here to what I say. It'll help you on that judgment day. Just open up all your doors and let the light of love come in.
Hallelujah!
Say a prayer for every day till happiness, friend, comes your way. Just open up all your doors and let the light of love come in.
Gonna open up the front door, the white door, the back door, the side door, all the doors of my heart. Gonna open up the left door, the right door, the day door, the night door. Now's the time.
time to start. I'm going to put aside everything because I want to hear your bells ring. I'm going to open up all my doors and let the light of love come in. Open up the front door. Open up the back door. Open up the side door. And let the light of love come in. I'm gonna put aside everything because I want to hear joy bells ring. I'm gonna open up all my doors and let the light of love come in.
Please, all your glasses, please. Good night now. Come on, come on. I am with you. How's it going? That's a lot. Rosie?
Hello!
I just realised something. Mr. Glum ain't been in tonight. First time in 18 years. Oh, well, I'll bolt the doors. But, that's better.
Open up the front door! Open up the back door! Open up! There's been an hideous accident!
All right.
Ted, made it. I'll have a large brown, please, Ted.
Yeah. What was the hideous accident?
Well, my clock stopped. I'll hurry up with that brown. I'm parked on regular drive, Ted.
It's coming. You know, Mr. Glum, when you didn't come tonight, I thought there could only be one reason. You dropped down dead.
Wishful thinking will get you nowhere, Ted. As a matter of fact, Ted, it's funny you should say that, because I had half a mind to.
You did.
At one stage this evening, I very nigh did.
No.
What an evening. It all started innocent enough.
Yeah.
There was Ron and Ed ensconced on the sofa, discussing their forthcoming maritals.
Oh, Ron. Ever since I told my father that I'm definitely marrying you next March, you don't know what I've had to put up with from him. Why doesn't he pull himself together? Why doesn't he get a job? Why is he such a layabout?
Don't ask me, yes. He's your father.
That's what he says about you, Ron. He says it's all very well me being the breadwinner now, but what about after we're married? He hopes I'll have to stop working eventually, Ron, because of, well, a happy event.
Your old age pension?
Long before that, beloved. I mean, I'll have to be blunt. I won't be able to keep my job if a baby comes along.
Oh, yes, they'd never give your job to a baby. If a grown-up came...
Oh, Ron.
What?
Ron, you're forcing me to say this. My dad thinks that you should go out and get employment, and I agree with him.
Ah.
Oh, Ron, don't look so hurt. I know you've always said you didn't want to rush into the first position that was offered because it's better to survey the field first. But, Ron, you've been surveying it for 7 years. Why can't you go out tomorrow and definitely get a job?
Because I got a job this morning.
Oh, Ron, it's easy enough to make excuses, but you've got to consider that you'll have a home to maintain and a wife to support, to say nothing of all the... You did what?
I got a job this morning. I saw this notice, you see, and Beth, I'm telling you how I got me job. Well, would you believe it? She's gone to sleep. I thought that would interest her. Oh, I don't know. I'll just play with me elastic band. If we sawed a bit off the end of it when we started painting the town.
Oh. Hello, hello, hello. I just thought... Here, what happened to her?
She's having a ziz.
That's no ziz, my boy. Your mother went like that the night I arrived home before closing time. This girl has fainted from shock.
Oh.
All right, Ron, what you been up to?
Me, Dad?
Are you standing there trying to look innocent? I always knew that one day I'd come through that door just too late. Now then, give me a hand bringing her around.
What do I do, Dad?
Well, force her head between her knees.
All right, oh, Dad.
Not backwards. Oh, do be a help. Look, just loosen a little bit of clothing.
Oh, Dad, oh.
Don't stand there blushing. This is medical reasons. There's no shame where illness is concerned.
Well, if you're sure it's all right. There. Is that enough?
Ron.
Yes, Dad?
Do your cardigan up again. Don't you see? It's her clothing what has to be loosened.
Oh, Mr. Glum, it's happened.
You don't have to tell me. I took in this situation at a glance.
Ron, Mr. Glum, Ron, he's got a job. He went out this morning and got a job. He actually... Mr. Glum, are you all right?
Can't understand why everybody's so sleepy tonight.
Ron, he's fainted.
Him too. Well, it's all right, Death. I know exactly what to do. Now, Dad told me, so leave it to me.
Righto, then. I'll just... Soon. What are you unbuttoning my woolly for? How dare you?
Oh, I didn't ask go down there. Oh. Right on me funny bone. Ron, my baby boy, are you really in work?
Yes, Dad.
Oh, my son. Come to my outstretched arms. Lay your curly head against my toil-worn pullover.
He doesn't kill anybody, does he? He just springs it. Oh, sometimes I don't know whether to hit him or hug him.
Hit him.
Not my breadwinner. Well, come on, Ron, then. Tell us the whole details.
Well, it was this morning, Eth.
Mm-hmm.
I was walking along the high street to break in Mum's new boots. When I saw this place.
All right, then what place?
A big place with a sign outside that says Neapolitan Ice. And I thought, now, that's something I'm very fond of. So I went inside and asked if I could get a job there. So they gave me a whole lot of paper to sign, and they measured me, and I got to go there Monday.
Well, if that's not initiative, I don't know what is. Don't you agree, Mr. Glum?
Yes, I'm just trying to think where... Did you say Neapolitan Ice?
Yes. Yeah.
I just don't know anywhere in the high street where they make... Just a minute. Ron, this place, did it have a blue lamp outside?
That's right, Dad.
Neapolitan Ice, that's Metropolitan Police! Oh, heaven help us all! My boy's a copper!
Now, Mr. Glum, you must try and snap out of it. You'll just make yourself physically ill. It's 2 hours now you've been sitting in that chair with your head in your hands, just staring into space.
What harm have I done that I should have this visited upon me in my old age? To think I cuddled him, clasped a policeman in my arms. I feel soiled. I feel soiled, Ed.
Now, don't start again.
Yes, I'll accept that he makes mistakes sometimes. We all make mistakes. No one is inflammable, but oh, dear. This, oh, dear.
But Mr. Glum, I told you he had reasons.
Reasons? I'll buy him a whistle and a notebook. I don't mind the expense of that.
It's not just the whistle and the notebook. It's to satisfy my family.
All right, what about my family? Don't expect them to come to the wedding now. What? Wishing a comfortable happiness? The words would stick in their gullets. A comfortable
The shame. Oh, dear. But I should live to see a child, flesh and blood of mine.
Well, I'll have another word with Ron. What's he been doing in the bathroom all this time, anyway? Ron?
Coming, Ed. Oh, look, Ep, I found a bit of chain to hang me whistle on.
Oh, Ron, that'll just inconvenience everybody.
No, it's all right, Ep. We need a new bath plug anyway.
Ron, come over here. I'm worried about your father. Just can't reconcile himself to your policeman work. Just look at him.
How am I going to explain to Uncle Charlie? What words can I use? I can't face him. Not face to face. I'll have to write. Tell him that his favourite nephew is a...
You see, Ron?
Why should it happen? Why? You raise a child. You do your best. You try and set him an example. And what does he become? I blame the television. Stands to reason, doesn't it?
Talk to him.
What shall I say?
Say something soothing.
All righto. Dad?
Yes?
Cough syrup.
Don't you talk to me. Don't you ever talk to me again. If you ever, by any chance, have anything to say to me, do me the kindness of giving it to me verbally. Far as I'm concerned, I no longer have a son. As far as I'm concerned, you're dead.
Yes?
Yes?
Come over here.
Right, dear heart.
Listen, yes.
Yes?
I think he's annoyed about something.
Ron, we can't live in this atmosphere. Mr. Glum, listen.
What is it?
If you feel so strongly, Ron will resign from his constabulary job.
Resign? Don't talk wit. He signed on it. He's in. The cast has died. It's binding. It's like marriage. Once you sign on, you've got to sweat it out. He can't get out of that job now.
Oh, yes, I can.
Eh?
I've been thinking. If I go out and commit a crime and they send me to jail, I can't be a policeman then, can I?
A crime? But wrong.
This is something I've got to do, Ed. I want my dad to love me again and let me push my nose up his pullover.
What crime can you commit?
I'll think of something. I'll go out and hit somebody with a brick. Kindly hand me my cap.
You've got it on.
In that case, I'll find it myself. Good night.
Well, well, Mr. Glum. So you're Ron's out now, committing a crime just to stop being a policeman.
Ah, yes, but also to regain his father's respect.
Ah.
It's about an hour ago that he set off. But I always say all's well that ends well.
I never known a family like it.
Well, I only popped out for a stiffener. Oh. I must get back to it. A bit foggy, so I mustn't stay out too long. I don't want her to get worried. Good night, Ted. Thanks for the
round. Good night, Mr. Glow. Good night. Here, Rosie.
Hello.
When you finish your glasses, come in here. Them Glum's been at it again. Oh, dear.
Excuse me, Mr. Ted.
Hey?
Has Mr. Glum gone long?
Oh, you just missed him. Here. Oh. Told me the old story. Have they copper on yet?
Oh, Mr. Ted, it's awful. Eh? Ron's roaming the streets with a brick and it's all unnecessary.
But, eh?
Well, after Mr. Glum left, the police station rang up. Ron isn't a policeman. He failed the intelligence test. There's a letter in the post.
Cool, that's it. Here, so if he hits somebody...
He'll go to prison for nothing.
Oh, no.
Oh, Ron.
Hello, Ed.
Oh, Ron, have you done it?
No, Ed. I couldn't.
Oh, thank goodness.
I tried, Ed, but I couldn't. Not even for Dad. I crept up behind an old man walking along the canal path, and I raised my brick, but I just couldn't, Ed. I couldn't do it.
Oh, I knew you couldn't, beloved. You're too good, too decent to hit an old man with a brick, aren't you?
I suppose I am, Ed.
So what did you do?
I pushed him in the canal.
Oh, Ron!
All right,
Where is he?
Dad, what are you doing all dripping wet?
Come here, you!
Had it been a witch and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards, and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton and the keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...